LL. There's tour dates in June. There's tour dates coming in August. New record, all kinds of stuff. I love hearing from people. If anybody writes in, said they heard the show, I'll send them a track. So
terrific. And yeah, all your music is, this whole album is fantastic, sensational.
Thank you very much.
And you playing anywhere local soon?
Yeah. All the tour dates are at aaronshadwell.com. The next local is June 23rd. We're at Plow and Star. I have a 3-piece band with me. And then the next day, we're up in New Hampshire.
Yeah. And we'll definitely have you back again here or at WMWM.
Please.
And with this album, the new album.
Yes.
And get out there and, as we say, support local music.
Yes, do it.
You know, you've been in this area a long time. You're a local musician.
Yeah.
And you're part of the scene and part of what's going on. Mm. And
it's a lot of talent here. It's right under everybody's nose. They may not realize that. Some really top-notch players here in town, songwriters.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to run into, too. I mean, you can just, you know, walk down the street and, you know, because, you know, like here, like New York, you know, people are down playing in the subway.
Sure.
They're playing everywhere.
Absolutely,
and,
man.
You know, get out there and support it. Have fun, because you know what? Without local music, there is no national music, and there is...
Because everybody was local once.
That's right. Everybody, you know, otherwise, everybody, if you don't go out and see them, everybody's playing in their basement.
It's true. Yep.
Yeah, or they're, Mike had all these jokes about Kansas. Well, you know, in the cellar because of, you know, a tornado
the
or
tornadoes.
Something.
Tornadoes, yeah, in their tornado bunkers, they play.
Roots music, yeah.
Roots music, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know what? That's what Granny called the root cellar, right? Yeah.
Well, that's the end of another What's Happening.
Well, I mean, our the gentleman who follows us isn't here yet.
Yeah, Yvonne hopefully will be here soon.
I mean, did you have one more that you wanted to play?
Oh, you guys want to hear another song?
Sure.
Let's see. Let's think about that for a second. Yeah, you know what? I kind of want to play... can we play a track from the record? Is that still handy?
It will be in a moment.
Yeah, I'd like to play... this track called, off the record, called Just For Me. And it's a murder ballad. And the story is, there's a cool story behind this. My dad, who I met when I was 38 for the first time, he was a social worker for 30 years, and I interviewed him about what goes on with people who end up in prison and all this different kind of stuff. And we sort of used that interview to make this tune about this guy who probably did a murder and is relieved that he's in jail, though we're not entirely sure who he killed.
It's Just For Me.
Just For Me.
Enjoy.
I remember Mother would hold me close and say, you could never be bad. I know you could never be bad. So I tried. Oh, I tried. It was Sunday, the evening. Both my ears were ringing. Gunpowder on my hands. I thought I could never be bad, but I was. Oh, I was. I'm so relieved I got 25 to life. Relaxing years in this hotel paradise. Just for me. revived from life. Relaxing years in this hotel paradise for me.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Aaron Shadwell.
And...
this thing loves jumping into the music. You heard this one. I played it. Which is on there.
Okay, let's see.
Yep.
Come on.
Which is in the next...
on the next side.
Yeah.
With this lovely lady.
Right. Well, that's part of the theme of the song. She's not as lovely as she looks.
Isn't that the way it... Isn't that so true?
That can happen in the world. People who look like they're lovely may not actually be lovely on the inside. That is true. That happens. And sometimes people who are, you know... the most lovely are unremarkable to look at.
Right, and that's the hard part because, you know, sometimes the ones who are lovely people stay away from, too.
That's true.
Because they're afraid, you know, they're...
Oh, sure.
But both ways.
Absolutely.
But should we jump into Blowing Bubbles?
Blowing Bubbles, yeah.
Let's go right to the track.
How dreadful, she said, while clutching her pearls from underneath a white umbrella. Empty my ties, lotion tan thighs, dance party on the beach, ocean lapping at her feet. Never admitted, hadn't a clue. Clear water blue keeps out the bad news. She's blowing bubbles, everybody. While she's busy ignoring the finger-wag news of the bubble buster crew. Clues piled up, but it's still a cipher. She's looking for help from the mighty decider. Good old boys got her back with their cold dead hands. No matter the sitch, more guns.
Welcome back. I'm Aaron.
I'm Aaron Shadwell.
And you're listening to What's Happening, and been playing some great tracks and hearing great music off of Goodnight Friday.
Thank you.
And WMFO Medford, Our number is 855-915-9636 or 855-915-WMFO. We'll be back with Aaron in a moment.
I'm Simon Cowell for PETA. Far be it from me to be critical, but I find it really appalling that this year thousands of dogs will die of heat stroke inside parked cars. There people thought that that little errand would only take a minute, or it wasn't that hot. But delays happen, and temperatures inside a car quickly rise in summer, even when the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford on What's Happening. We'll be back to the music in 1 second.
Yeah.
Yes, you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM. You're listening to an extended version of What's Happening. It's usually here from 5 to 6 o'clock on Sunday. We have Aaron Shatwell in the studio. We've been chatting. He's been playing some stuff acoustically. We've been playing stuff off his CD. We do not know where our host after us is, but hopefully he's okay and will be with you either later today or next week. So, we are investigating to see if we can find some morphine songs.
Yeah.
Sometimes, at this point, I think the country needs some morphine.
Yeah, I'd say the country does need some morphine. We were just talking about, remembering some of the stories of music in Boston, and morphine is obviously one of those stories. And
like you said, we have a very rich musical.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff
intertwining here because of all the colleges and the music schools, and being a very metropolitan area on the East Coast. I consider myself very lucky that not only have I experienced it, but I've played in it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, I played with some bands, and some of my heroes have come up and played with the band I'm in. So
that's totally great. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know you're working on a great set.
Yes, I'm from Walden,
yeah,
which is a couple towns over, and I've been kind of put back. I'm going to do an all Malden show. Ames Brothers, Norman Greenbaum, Charlie Farron from Fahrenheit and Joe Perry Project.
Nice.
Johnny A is from Malden.
Oh, he is?
Yes, he is. Originally,
yeah. He's got those cool Gibson guitars.
Yes,
I like
yes.
That.
He has them named after him. Obviously, the band from Extreme.
Yeah.
And the band Flesh. And obviously, a lot of people have lived in Malden, like Daniel Morelia. And tons of people. I get 32 artists lined up.
Well, that's
and I'm
cool.
going to do a couple hour show, so that's what I'm working on.
That's
hopefully
awesome.
I can do it this summer if I can get well. I guess I'm going to have to buy a favor for that.
Bring on the morphine for Mike. Mike
right.
needs morphine.
Hi. Needs morphine.
Any special track?
Anything. It's just so awesome, that stuff.
Okay.
It really shaped me when I heard it. When I first heard it.
How about Whisper?
I'll take it.
Okay. Yellow.
Thank you. see you as you see me walk on past. When there's nothing more I'd like to do than come in close and hear you laugh. Though we haven't even spoken, there's still a sense of rapport. So whisper me your number, I'll call you up at home. Yeah, whisper me your number, I'll call you up at home. Whisper me your number, I'll call you up at home. Whisper me.
That's right, Mike is in the coffin corner. His lung just went across the room.
They haven't put me in one yet.
You okay, man?
Yeah. Oh, he keeps beating it, yes. He keeps...
They keep nailing that lid down. It keeps popping right open.
Oh, good.
They keep throwing the dirt on the face. I keep wiping it away.
Good, good. As you should.
You should. I mean, you know, we want to get you back out there playing and performing.
Absolutely, man.
And a matter of fact, there is a show that is open mic every week.
Yes. Natalie Flanagan has a open mic at Tavern at the End of the World from 4 to about 7 every Sunday. That's Tavern at the End of the World. That's on the Brook. That's on the Childs, there in Childstown, but on the Childstown Somerville line. And usually around 7, 8 o'clock to about 10, they have a performer, which is going to be a milder version of Hicks, I understand. A little bit cleaned up version of Hicks.
Right, right.
They do kind of a country rockish type of thing. But that's today, Tavern at the End of the World. Excellent food, excellent host, excellent people.
Also, you just finished booking the event for Corolla DeVille.
Yes, Corolla DeVille is going to be premiering their CD. I don't know if they're going to put it as an official CD release, but they're going to be Friday, June 23rd at the Tavern at the End of the World. And the opener is the Rumble winner, Carissa Johnson. She's going to be doing a solo acoustic. She is great. We love her CD here, Only Roses. We play that a lot here. And Corolla DeVille. And then at the top of the bill will be the Billy Connors Project. If you're not familiar with the Billy Connors Project, basically it was Cadillac Hot, and it goes all the way back to when Billy was in the Boys from Live at the Rat double album back in the mid-70s.
And Corolla DeVille's album is called Ride.
Yes, Ride, yes. And it's been doing very well here. It's been doing very well, WMFO and WMWM. And some of the other stations will be playing it again soon. So I hope to see everybody down there. It'll be a fun, fun thing.
And what date is that?
That is Friday, June 23rd. Activities usually start after 9 o'clock. Usually first band's on somewhere between 9 and 9:30 and goes to about 12:30 or so. And like I said, it's very intimate and very close.
It is.
And but it is free parking.
Always a plus, free parking.
They have a parking lot behind. They have free there's parking in the street. They are 500 feet from the Orange Line Sullivan Square T-stop. And Route 93, if you threw a pebble off, you would hit the roof. So Route 93 is right there. That's the exit for Route 99. And if you're coming from the opposite direction, if you're going southbound, you would get off at Sullivan Square, and it's a couple blocks down. No reason to miss it. Good stuff.
And Aaron, you were mentioning something about morphine in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I think it's worth talking about. And I don't know if everybody else had this experience or not, but when I first came to Boston, shortly thereafter, I heard that this gentleman had passed away while on tour in Europe, and his name was Mark Sandman,
mm-hmm.
from this band called Morphine. And at the time, I didn't know who they were. I was a kid from the Midwest. I didn't know about much, quite frankly. And I think something that I learned in the film that meant a lot to me, because it seemed to mean a lot to the people who were close with Sandman, was that there was this sort of misinformation about his death for a long time, that it had been drug related, and apparently it was not.
It was a heart attack on stage.
Yeah, and I think that is so worth saying, because he gave so much, and to remember the facts about what happened with his life and his passing is really important. And those tracks really opened my brain up to this whole other way of thinking about music, this really groovy, simple stuff. And he was one of the first singers that really started to show me how powerful being quiet could be, That's been a big thing for me as an artist, is to just to have the courage to not play loud. And I think, and that was the beginning of that. And of course, they were just doing stuff that was so cool and interesting. And I think no one else had really done it at that time, and probably still since. I never heard anybody that sounds like that. And just that use of dark subject matter and this, but he still had this levity to him about the way he delivered it all. He didn't seem to take himself very seriously, or at least I never read it that way. So I think if the people listening, wherever you are, go find the Morphine documentary. It's so worth watching. It's at times really heart wrenching, but it's also really beautiful. I mean, a lot of people came together to make a really cool thing happen. Kind of any time a band starts to really have something magical happening, it's pretty exciting to watch that, and they're definitely a great example of it.
Another great thing, though, like I said, about being quiet, you so many people out there that I've heard excuse me, Mike, what's going on here?
Oh my god,
it's going around the room.
This is from the sick ward.
Spreading. I'm next.
That
see him while you can.
Thank you very much. Being a little quiet, you can hear the words, and the words are very important because you hear songs and you have no idea what the words are.
Well, you know, some people create with bright red colors and hammers.
Sure.
And some people create with, you know, soft pastels.
Yeah, it's true.
And whispers.
Yeah. And I think what I mean to say is it was I feel like every artist has to honor the truth for them. And it was a difficult moment to accept that I wasn't meant to be loud, and that I had to, that wasn't me expressing myself. That was me wearing armor and hiding from the audience. That's what it was for me. And to go in and put a stake in the ground and say, no, I'm going to be myself. I don't care if you don't like it.
Yeah,
that was a really important moment.
I think, you know, we're like, I don't want to say we're New York, but we're like New York because you have all the colleges and international people, different ideas and stuff flowing. And me and Aaron, some of the DJs, have had long discussions about Ruby Rose Fox, how she is a different entity in this environment.
And she's great. I played Slide on one of those tracks.
Yes.
Called Painkiller.
She's basically taking a risk in a way, but she's being true to herself.
She is. She's tremendous. Great.
Yes.
Great performer, great lyricist. I really admire her as a craftsperson.
For many, you know, for a long period of time, I would see the name. And, you know, because the other show I wasn't, it wasn't something that I would have brought on. But now that I've been doing the other shows, I started pursuing it. And I totally fell in love with Ruby's stuff and her voice and her approach.
Yeah.
And she's so different. I hope, like, you know, a Lady Gaga, that people will grab onto her.
Sure.
But, you know, I do, you know, Boston Women Rock also, and I focus on, you know, like her or Abby Barrett or Jenny D.
Abby's great, yeah.
I love Abby. Andrea Gillis,
sure.
or Liz Bills from Analog Hot,
yeah,
Sasha from Particles Collide.
This is totally wonderful.
You know, we just, you know, we have Tracy Chevrolet that's part of, you know, Boston Women Rock. We had Trust Club on.
Yeah.
There's tons and tons of great music here. And being on both sides of the mic, I worry sometimes on a certain level that this is great stuff and I really want people to hear it.
Yeah.
And
you know, there's a great moment about Ruby I want to cut in. I want to make sure you know about it, which is there's this, it's on her website or on her Facebook feed somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it is, but she's talking about her early days as a singer, and there's this great photograph of her as a teenager, and I almost can't recognize her, you know, and I've known her for a few years and certainly know her face very well. And she talks about this moment where somebody tried to get her to sing higher and in this sort of like cute little girl kind of way, and that was kind of a painful moment for her, and it made her feel weird. And it
said the person. Person didn't recognize her talent.
Yeah, can you imagine if she hadn't come back from that moment?
Some don't.
Or if maybe two or three people had laid that trip on her and she believed it, which is, I think, would have been the ultimate crime, was that if she had given up this idea of being this, you know, powerful woman with this unusually low voice, you know, and it's awesome. It's totally great.
In fact, she has a show coming up this coming Saturday.
She does.
At doors open at 7, show begins at 8. It's Ruby Rose Fox, Halo Circus, Flory Neymar, DJ Carbo, and George Woods.
Yeah, George Woods is a buddy of mine.
He's great.
We've had him in, and in fact, he was here yesterday.
Yes, he was.
He's really supportive of the community. He runs the open mic.
He just took over from Tom Bianchi.
Tom was there for 10 years.
Yes.
Tom gave me some of my first gigs ever.
Tom is still at the Baron. He's doing the Baron Backroom Series.
He does. He has a Thursday night at
Toad. George also does Thunder Road, I believe, also.
He does, yeah. Yes. I think so. I believe so.
But get out and see her. I mean,
yes, she's an outstanding performer. She's really, really riveting to watch. No,
I mean, she keeps winning the local awards, which is really
she does. She does. She does well with that. She knows how to do that thing of making that stuff happen.
I mean, from the picture that's on the site for the Brighton Music Hall, and she now has blonde hair.
Yeah, she changed her look. Mm. She went really short, shocking blonde hair. Yeah, yeah.
She said her hair was long since she was 15 years old.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah,
that must have been
a thing. A while, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it was a thing. She is masterful at her appearance as part of the character that she plays on stage.
Yes.
And she has a deep commitment to that.
Yeah, I think some people don't grasp that.
That's not for everybody. It's,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think,
it's a school
of thought. She's grabbed a certain persona
through
the name, and she just tells how she got the name.
Yeah.
I know what her real name is, but...
Sure.
She's grabbed that and taken that like a banner, and she's like running up to the front lines with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think some people do get it.
I think a lot of people are getting
it.
And as they should. When the right person puts that suit on, so to speak, it's really exciting. And I think she's one of those people that can put that suit on. Like, if I put that suit on, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You know, and it's not my jam at all. I'm completely different. But
you know, when we look at the whole landscape of what's happening musically,
that's not what I wanted.
You know, at different areas in the Boston area, there's been these little gold rushes where, you know, in the early 70s, it was, you know, the J. Giles and Aerosmiths, and they were scooped up. And then basically in the mid to late 70s, it was, you know, the Real Kids and the Liars and Amy Mann and, you know, Del Fuegos and stuff like that. And then it happened again in the 90s where a lot of ladies' bands like Fuzzy and the Breeders and...
I was just hanging out with one of the girls from Fuzzy, excuse me.
Jen Trine and a bunch of them.
Yeah.
So we hope, you know, even though the music business has changed drastically and they just, you know, there's not A&R people, but we hope that something grabs these great talents and so other people can see them.
Sure.
We hope that basically people are not stymied by, you know, the TV programs, you know, and their iPods, that they will explore and they will hear these other acts that are definitely worthy.
Yeah, yeah. There are people out there who do that still. I remember I spent some time north of Boston finishing up Good Night Friday before it came out, and I met this young singer, and she was very, very focused on the TV shows.
Yeah.
She was 16 when I met her. She came to a show, and I met her mom, and we became friendly, and we worked together a little bit. And I sort of came to know her parents and everything. And she couldn't really see past those shows.
Because they're selling fame and fortune over content.
And I tried to get her to understand that there's more out there than those shows.
Yeah.
And I don't feel drawn to those shows, and I'm not going to keep anybody from going to those shows. Like, it's fine, but I want young artists and every artist to understand that that is one particular slice of
reality.
It's
a very narrow path.
Very, very narrow path, and it is presented to you as though that were all there is.
It's a win all or nothing.
Yeah, I think it's nonsense. I think it really is, and I tried to... I don't know if I got through to her or not. I mean, I'll never know, really, but I tried to say to her, look, I want you to understand what it means to like play a 45-minute set that has an ebb and a flow and moments in it that you've created a show and that you've written songs and for and all that sort of thing, as opposed to going out and playing, you know, a 2.5-minute version of a famous pop song that you've rehearsed to death in front of cameras. I want you to understand that there's another thing, you know, that's really important. You know, and there's a lot of bands that exist outside of that world. Their entire careers, and they're amazing, and they're beautiful. And yes, they made it work financially, and yes, and certainly made it work artistically. A band like Fugazi comes to mind. You know, I want her to know that that exists, and that it's not all that TV thing.
Which are actually really great thoughts for any up and coming artist.
Yeah.
You know, which is what I was going to ask you. I mean, your thoughts for other artists who are up and coming. Get out there and listen to other people.
Sure.
You know, network, perform with them.
Sure.
Get out there and just hear what else is going on, because something might just strike a chord. I know that wasn't meant to be.
It's punny. It's good.
Yes. but it's what gives you a well-rounded position when you go out there to perform.
Yeah, and I feel like. Go see it in real life. Go see things in real life. Put your phone down and go see things in real life.
I think there has to be a major mind shift. We've discussed this many times. It seems that, and I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, I was at a club in Beverly, and basically the bands were playing were probably 50 older plus people.
Sure.
Demographics for the room were 45 to 70.
Wow.
But there was like these four or five young women, you know, in their 20s. And, you know, the band's playing and they got their iPhones up and they're taking their pictures. And without even thinking it was wrong, one of them walks up as the band's performing, stands in front of the lead singer and starts have friends take pictures of her and dance. I get a feeling that they feel that we are the backdrop to their event in their life and not the other way around.
Sure.
You know, they said people, when you go to concerts, put the phone down, enjoy, be in the moment.
Yeah, be here.
And they have to unlearn this somehow. Step away from the technology and experience the humanity, the real, you know.
Sure. I think somebody said to me once, you said, don't ever blame your audience. I had sassed his audience. I had opening for him, this artist I was opening for. And he said, don't ever blame your audience, because if Aretha Franklin were here, we'd all be having a good time.
Yeah.
And I guess what I take out of it is, as artists and as performers, we have to set a moment and set a tone for them to want to put those phones away.
Yeah.
And invite them to put their phones away and to have the togetherness of that time.
Yeah.
And I think, depending on when you entered this world, there was a time when that was the foregone conclusion about a show.
Yes.
And I think now it isn't. And I conduct the opening song of my show. We play the track Good Night Friday, and we vamp the top of the song and the drums just hang like that.
Yeah.
And I talk to the audience and I tell them what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And I say, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And we've only got, you know, 40 minutes left and we're going to have a great time and it's going to be this, this, and this and all this stuff. And I set that tone. And I feel like that's important in some way. Now, you can do that non-verbally and you can do it verbally the way I do it. Mm. Everybody does it differently. But you've got to create that, because I think otherwise, a lot of times we're falling back on our phones because we're uncomfortable, because we're nervous to be out. And as the person setting the tone of the room, I think you've got to create the togetherness. You've got to be the first one to really be available to them, so they feel like there's something to do other than stare into that little thing that has the entire world in it.
I know.
You know what I mean?
There are some established artists that will get on stage or have the MC come out and says, as you know, the artist would like you not to do this, to be in the moment. I think some people can do that because of their stature.
Sure.
It's harder when you're starting out.
Sure.
You know?
I say that if you ask them the right way, they'll do it.
Yeah.
If you ask them in a way that's maybe a little not so kind.
You can do a switch and bait, go, hey, if you put your phones down after the show, you can take selfies with me.
Sure. Or you have a, there's a moment in the yeah. show for the phones. Yeah. Let's wait until then, and then everybody take yeah. them out, and then it's funny and stuff.
Yeah,
like, you know, and you get all and post it on their Facebook page and all that. But
yeah, I guess we went from lighters to phones.
We kind of did.
Yeah.
Well, but lighters are more intimate, mm. and I would argue the intimacy is what really matters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, you know, when we were talking earlier about the porch rests and the house parties and yeah. everything, you know, when you're in that intimate setting, you're not taking out your phone.
Probably not.
You know,
if you are, it's pretty awkward.
Yeah, but you go. I mean, you go and enjoy. I mean, for well, every up until the last 25, 30 years, phones didn't exist.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, you know, yeah. other than the house phone, and it's yeah, like yeah. you're gonna hold up your house phone and say, "See,
right?"
You know,
yeah. It's weird.
In the history of man, there's always been storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
Are we stopping to be storytellers and device users?
We're not. It's not stopping.
Yeah.
It's not stopping. It's challenged and interrupted a little bit. Yeah. It's not stopping. It's yeah. there. I mean, I just saw Feist like 3 days ago, and everybody loved it. And hardly anybody had a phone out.
Yeah.
They were paying attention. They're there. I think you've got to say, no, this is going to be about intimacy right now. Essentially, that's what you've got yeah. to tell them. And I think when somebody does that, it cuts through the digital haze pretty, I think people hear that.
You know, when I first came out of college, I was a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And what I used to do...
What'd you teach?
Whatever subject a substitute teacher
would
take.
So you just come in and like do whatever.
I would stand in front of the desk. So I'm already breaking that barrier with the students.
Sure, yeah.
And I would let them sit there. And because I went... from a community which had a very, very rough junior high school.
Right.
It was almost intimidation, but basically I would let them sit there for a minute and stare at me. And then I would walk around the room twice. And I got their attention. I broke that space. I'm into their space.
Yeah, man.
And then I'd come back, oh, okay, this is what your assignment is for the day. If you're quiet, I'll let you talk the last 10 minutes. And it worked.
That's
every
awesome.
Time. It's breaking that space.
Yeah, man.
Getting out into the crowd.
Absolutely.
I saw... a band from New Jersey, and they did The Girl Like You. I can't think of the name of the band right now, but their bass player or guitar actually jumps into the audience
yeah.
and walks in.
As he should.
Yeah. You know, creating that intimacy.
Yeah, I love doing that.
Well, smithereens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can have 80,000 people, which would be a great show.
Sure. Or you I mean, that's kind of weird to me. I'd rather have like 1,500.
Well, but no, I mean, 80,000, sure. Or you can have 10 people.
Sure.
And it should be the same as far as the respect to the artist.
Sure.
And the artist gives you the respect back because they're performing
yeah,
for
yeah,
you.
The
they're performing, not really, I mean, it is for you, but it's actually for themselves and sharing what they have to say with
yeah.
the audience. And that's
yeah.
what's missed today. Yeah. I mean... I watch my nephew, and I mean, I have one nephew who's just in his 30s, and the other one is 17,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about the phone, and it's all about, okay, and this is not what it's about.
They say most pedestrian accidents are people walking to crosswalks, looking right. at their phones, so the last thing they're going to see in this world is their phone.
I mean, we didn't have that. At one time, I mean, I lived in Europe. And we didn't have television. Because what was on television was teaching you German on how to... You have 2 hours of American TV to teach you how to speak German.
Fucking
right.
deliciously.
So we had radio.
Right.
And the music. And you sit there... Because radio's supposed to be the theater of the mind. And even when you're hearing a song, listen to it. You know, because you can hear the tune, but you need listen to and the melody, but you want to listen to the whole thing because you're missing something if you're only hearing half of a song.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you spend a lot of time putting your music together and your words, your lyrics and your and the melodies, and if you're going to play an instrumental, you can still see something
sure.
in your mind about what it's all about.
Sure.
Or vice versa.
Sure.
And we're here on What's Happening on
WMFO 91.5 FM and web streaming on WMFO.org. We are usually here on every Sunday from 5 to 6 o'clock. We're in extended What's Happening Today.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron Shadwell, the musical guest.
And we're talking musical philosophy 101 right now.
We are, yes.
Well, it makes sense. Where are we?
In a radio station.
And what at a university.
At a university.
You're going to notice something here that you don't see at other stations.
What's that?
What's on the wall?
Records.
Yes.
Yeah, if you were in here, there's like every room has just records upon records upon records. I'm sure I know like 1% of these records.
It's good to hold on. People don't realize some stations have eliminated their vinyl.
Yeah.
Some don't hold on to CDs. One thing I always try to stress with people is that these albums here, sometimes they'll never be able to reproduce them because the band doesn't exist anymore.
Sure.
The tapes doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? That music goes away.
It might. Yeah, it may very well.
It's not on YouTube. Not everything makes on YouTube.
No.
Maybe 3 or 4 albums out of those thousands over there might be on YouTube.
Yeah. You know, that makes me think. I was in New York City when I was a kid, and I saw this band at CBGB's back when CBGB's was a thing, and I loved them, and I got this CD.
Yeah.
And I hung on to it for years, and I just listened to it a lot. It was cool. That band was called The Grays.
Yeah.
And at one point, I realized that I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't, nobody had it. I couldn't find it online anywhere. And I was like, oh darn. You know, that's the only, that might, like, I might, if I break this or I lose this or whatever, I don't back it up, I'll never be able to listen to it again. And I really liked the way the record sounded and the songs were cool and it was nice.
We had it growing up where, I mean, if they did it today, it would be strange, but it'd be cool. Except for people have to go out and buy record players.
That's true.
But the records used to be on the back of cereal boxes.
Ah, I remember that kind of stuff.
And or in magazines.
Yeah, I remember that, too. It was a little floppy. It was like a plastic paper stuff.
Or the cardboard ones that are on the back of cereal boxes. And you could put on your record player.
And then you would find out what that 16 RPMs a minute meant. The old record player, because it was 16, 33, 45, 78.
Did they ever sound good? I don't remember that.
They actually did. I mean, I know they did it for, I know the Archies did that, and many of the other groups.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be interesting to put those back in a cereal box and see how many people run out and buy a record player.
Right. I was in a little record club for a while, and they would send you a postcard that was a tiny 7-inch kind of thing.
You know,
and you could play it. And it was very difficult to play. It would warp, and you couldn't really get to play right, but it was an awesome idea. And it had artwork on the other side that the band had created, or somebody had collaborated with the band to create.
When the love fanzines came out in the 70s,
it was
a very hip thing to put a flexi disc inside the magazine.
Sure, man. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, they also used to, 45s, they used to also color them, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it was always something different.
Yeah, I'm dying to put out vinyl. I would love to do vinyl.
One thing I, you know, me and the other DJs here at the station and other stations and people I know in the business, we had actually a discussion yesterday, some former BCN COZ people, River people, and we're talking that in some stations, they don't even have a record player. They don't, and they just deal with digital.
Yeah, sure.
And an email can be deleted.
Sure.
And go away. And make sure when you send something out that you talk to that station and see what format they're playing.
Yeah.
I know it's very, very tempting to go out and put out vinyl right now.
Sure.
We are actually getting cassettes again.
That's awesome.
We don't have a cassette player.
Sure.
Well, no, we do have one under there. But some don't even have,
Sony Walkman?
You know, there was mini discs. There was
mini
discs.
Was it mini discs ever like a commercial thing? Did anybody?
It was people mostly recording, but some people actually put stuff out on mini discs.
Yeah, God.
There was the smaller digital. What was that called?
The mini CDs?
No, the small digital tape.
Oh, DAT?
DAT.
That was like a recording studio thing.
We used to have a DAT player here that's broken. Yeah. So, I mean, think of all the formats, you know. 8-track, cassette, DATs, mini disc, a lot of that stuff that radio stations don't have anymore. They don't have vinyl. You go in there, like I said, I went to a high-level college station. This bunch of CDs they keep would fit on one shelf in here.
Yeah.
They don't physically keep them. Know where they go?
Yeah.
Recycle bucket, because they don't physically want to hold on to that product.
They might not have the space.
And the DJ, unfortunately, he just sits there and pushes buttons. all the announcements, all the station IDs.
Yeah.
Everything pre-programmed?
It's programmed.
Yeah. You know, I mean, at the WMWM, we have record players. Tune Studio, we have them here. You know, because I watch the up-and-coming DJs, and they'll sit there with their laptop and be doing something else on their phone and not paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
And something will go by, and it's like, you know what? You're letting other people sit there and listen to your Walkman, basically.
Yeah, sure.
And not being a part of what's going on and paying attention. I mean, my nephew said to me, well, you just sit there and press buttons. I said, no, I don't. Because when you're here at a college station, you're the engineer, you're the programmer, you're the talent, you're...
the booking agent.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, well, ideally, you're also, you know, maybe putting together some kind of collection of songs that has to do with a perspective or an excitement about
music. Right. You're right on that. You know, sometimes
it's an extension of the intimacy created by the music itself. Well,
we've had a couple of times where different events occur. Like Casey Kasem, we're on the air at WM, and Casey Kasem passed away.
Mm.
So my co-host Bob and I turned around and boom, we did a live tribute to him right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
If everything's pre-programmed and you don't know how to use a CD. Because we have a few people at the station who don't know how to use a CD player. I had to teach one of them.
Yeah, well,
and it's like, wait a minute.
You do teach them.
You know, I've trained a few people, but it's, you know, it's
teach
like...
Teach them about vinyl, too. You know?
Oh, that's I did definite.
That. This is how you back cue a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, all the formats are there because, you know, there's stuff that hasn't been transferred to digital.
Yeah.
And... It gets things out. I mean, you know, we've got the great downloads from the cards that you have.
Yeah.
They can get it from your site.
Yeah.
But then don't forget. Make sure you're out there and seeing Aaron live. Because,
that'd be nice.
You know, that stuff is really good and great to have. But you don't get the same feeling.
No, it's not the same in the room. There's, you can't. You know, when I was unsure as to whether or not I was going to continue doing this, I think it was this notion of the connection that happens in the room that I was like, I can't not do that. What do you mean? You know, I can't go without that. Like, if I go for too long without touring, I start to feel weird.
Well, you know,
I
mean, the applause. Makes a big difference, and hearing people,
of course,
you know, clap and sing talk, and
people dance now at the shows, and I'm like, this is amazing. You're dancing.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to it at home or in your car, you know, you may get into the music, but it's not the same.
No, it's not the same as when the band's in the room. Not at all.
You know, and it could be a one-person performer or a symphony.
Sure.
And you never know. Because you listen to what's on the album, and the artists may get an inspiration to change it on you.
Yeah.
On how they do it, or how they perform it, or, you know, a different, and you know what, you're going to miss it unless you get out there.
Yeah.
And enjoy it live.
You have to go out there. Yeah, that's important stuff.
One thing I always reiterate is, you know, we were talking about, you know, the narrow focus and the great TV shows.
Yeah.
Some people think that, you know, people just come out of nowhere and they're famous. Joan Jett, after she came out of the Runaways, was rejected by over 23 record labels.
Sure.
She started her own, and look where she is today.
Yeah, she's Joan Jett.
If you have the fire and the desire,
Joan Jett's the young girl
that you were talking about,
yeah,
they will find a way.
Absolutely.
And that's important.
Yeah.
And that's why I do radio. That's why Aaron does radio. That's why all the DJs on the station do radio, and at WM and CAC and ZBC and MBR, BRS, all those stations, a lot of them, we all look at it differently, but we have a passion. And if we can get people excited about the music, especially local music, I think our job is complete.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, I love having guests in.
They will find me at aaronshadwell.com. That's where they find me.
And your latest album?
The latest record is Goodnight Friday. There was a single that came out for the election called Blowing Bubbles, and I'm working on a new record right now.
And the first song I heard was Bowtie, and that just got me. It was just hearing the first track, and
that's cool.
You know, the rest is Goodnight Friday.
Yes.
This is WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford. You're listening to What's Happening with Mike.
Aaron.
And musical guest Aaron Shadwell.
And I don't have the PSA book.
Oh, I can solve that problem.
Yes. Are we going to have a public service announcement?
Yeah, unless you would like to read one. Would you like to read a PSA?
I'll try. Oh, yeah. Give the PSA, can you hand me one?
Yep. We're handing the book over to him.
All right.
I'll let you pick a PSA.
PSA? Does it have to be?
Anything you'd like.
Oh, boy, here's a good one.
Yeah.
A few facts about texting and driving. Stop the texts, stop the wrecks is what we're talking about. A texting driver is 23 times more likely to get into a crash than a non-texting driver. Think about that for a second. 23 times more likely to crash your car and maybe kill yourself or somebody else because you couldn't wait to answer that girl's text or that guy's text for like maybe 10 minutes. All right, here's another one. Using a cell phone while driving, whether it's handheld or hands-free, delays a driver's reactions as much as having blood alcohol concentration of the legal limit of 0.8%. So it's kind of like being hammered, which is also not good. There's another fact you should think about to reassess texting and driving. Distracted driving is now the number one killer of American teens. So, you know, I don't want to make you sad, but perhaps one ought to reassess the texting situation. That's my PSA for WMFO.
That's brought to you by WMFO, Tufts University, and all the DJs that love you here.
Yes.
And I think it's, was it the Ad Council too? Normally, that's what it normally says.
You would know about that. I don't
would say
know.
At the bottom, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This meant that, oh, sorry, this has been a public safety message from stoptextstoprex.org and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Well, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.